Okay. Oh boy. Well, it was working earlier. It just disappeared on me, though. Let's see if, yeah, typical. Classic. Okay. Oh, there it is. Just have to wait a second. I've been wanting to do this for a while because I like to, I know some people are visual learners. Okay, could you hit to source? Yeah, should be good now. There we go. Okay. Perfect. All right. Yeah, I've been wanting to do this for a while, but I just had to get a few things put together to get this going again, because I know some people are visual learners too. So I'm a visual learner. I like to see and to hear at the same time. So it was Stephanie Fayant's Bachelorette weekend, so we had a whole bunch of youth going there too. That's for Pages, and I think they're having a good time. They did a whole weekend thing, so we want to be thinking of them too. While they're away here, I think they come back today, so keep them in your thoughts and prayers as well. So we've been talking about building blocks to healthy relationships. We've been talking about how do we have health. Oh, well, hello. You snuck in on me. I didn't even see. Nice to see you. Good to have you back here. How are things going? Good? You're settled in Cowtown? Yes? Well, nice to see you guys. I'm glad you're here. So we're going to continue this series of the building blocks to healthy relationships. And as you've heard me say many times, life really comes down to relationship. Right relationship with God, right relationship with each other, and right relationship with ourselves, right? Jesus got asked, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. That's the first and greatest commandment. Right? So life comes down to having a right relationship with God. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So life comes down to having right relationship with God, with each other, and with ourself. And relationships really are the most difficult thing we do here on planet Earth, isn't it? Right? Relationships can be so good, and yet they can be so difficult as well, depending on how the relationship is going in my life. And so we want to keep talking about that. We've been looking at the first building block to healthy relationship, which is the most important block, which is foundation. So if I was to do this here for you, which I've wanted to do a few Sundays, but if we look at the beginning block here, and we've been looking at the foundation. Okay. Now my writing is. Some people said I didn't leave grade six with my writing, so hopefully you can read this. And what is the foundation that we are to build our lives upon? Right? God. Yeah. Love, which is also God. Right? Right? 1 John in chapter 4, it says, God is love. Right? And so whenever I'm doing premarriage counseling or we're talking about getting married, I always ask the couple, so why do you want to get married? And I always hear, well, because we love each other, right? We love each other. And I said, well, that's great. That's a good reason to get married. But all those other couples who are now divorced said the same thing. So it depends on how we define love. The definition of love becomes very important. Of course, 1 Corinthians 13, we read about love. Right? We read about it. And so every place that we see that word love, we can replace it with God. So 1 Corinthians 13, God is patient, God is kind, right? God doesn't have. So we've gone over that, right? So we want to build our lives upon God. So we have to learn then, what does it mean to build my life, to found my life upon God? And so we've been looking at this one first block before we get to this next one. right? We have to have this one right, because if we don't have this one right, everything else that we build upon, it's just going to crumble, right? Because I had the wrong foundation. We talked about the wise and foolish builder, right? The one built his house by the sand. Storm came, wiped it out because it didn't have a solid foundation. And so in order to have healthy relationships, we have to understand what we're founding our lives upon, right? The basis of everything. And so we found it upon love. Love is the right answer. And so when we say that, we're saying it is God. We want to found our lives upon God. And so the things that we've been talking about in that is we want to first talk about what it means to be before we do. That's one of the things. So what does it mean to be in Christ, right? What does that mean? Because the doing things for Christ flows naturally out of the being in Christ. Amen? Right? So, but we jump so quickly to the do's, right? And we talked about that in Isaiah chapter 28, the prophet, he's speaking to that. For life has become for you, do this, do that, a rule for this, a rule for that, a little here, a little there. When the sovereign Lord said, this is the place of rest, this is the place of repose, but you would not listen, so very well then, my word to you will now become, do this, do that, a rule for this, a rule for that, a little here, a little there, so that as you go, you will fall backwards, you'll be injured and snared and captured. Whew, some strong language in that, hey? Right? And so, and then all of a sudden, the Christian life begins to get heavy. Because the only way that it can work is you have to learn what it means to be in Christ. But we so focus on jumping into the doo-doos. And we see this, and parents, I get asked all the time, yeah, it becomes a bunch of doo-doo. It does, right? And so we want our works and our lives to come from the source that is Christ in me, my only hope of glory. Because that's the only thing that makes our work fitting. What makes a work good is it's being done from Christ in me. But if I don't understand that, right, then how do I do it? So this is part of that foundational, having right relationship with God, right? Christ in me, my only hope of glory. We must learn what it means to be in Christ, because the doing for Christ flows naturally out of the being in him. You know, Paul uses those words in Christ over 130 times. And like I've told you, there's more, but one of my kids, when I was counting the one day, came in and distracted me, and then I lost count. And I didn't want to start over, but he uses that Christ in me, Christ in you, right? He uses that a ton, right? Christ in me, my only hope of glory. So we must learn what it means. And so if you grew up in a home where just the rules were taught to the Christian life and the regulations and what you need to do, well, that will eventually condemn you. It gets too heavy because you haven't learned what, you have no relationship. Relationship has to come before the rules. Otherwise, the Christian life will get very heavy. Do you know him? Have you fallen in love with him? Do you know that he is your everything and your all? That apart from him, you can do nothing. So we have to have relationship before the rules. Otherwise, you'll crumble underneath it, and you'll discover very quickly that you can't do it. The next thing we talked about was my weakness for his strength. That was the second thing we talked about, right? His power is made perfect in your strength? No, it says his power is made perfect in your weakness. Remember, Paul pleaded with the Lord three times, Lord, please take this thorn out of my flesh. If you just take this away, I could just serve you perfectly, right? And he's pleading, and the word was pleaded. He pleaded, so he's not just asking. He's pleading with the Lord, please. And then God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is actually made perfect in your weakness. That's why Paul says, then I'll boast all the more about my weaknesses, because where I am weak, he is now my strength. And so as I shared with you, I hear lots from, as I've been able to travel around and work with God's people, work with my brothers and sisters, is that, Chad, I just want to be a stronger Christian. I just want to be a stronger Christian. Well, what do we mean by that? Because he calls us to our weakness for his strength, right? He also says, I take the weak things of this world. to shame the wise and the strong. He didn't say, come unto me, all you who are strong, have life figured out, you got it perfectly, and then I'll give you rest. He says, come unto me, all you who are weak, weary, heavy burdened. Then I'll give you rest. Amen? Right? So what does it mean to be a strong Christian? So I started to ask people, and the things I heard, the most popular, well, I just want to read my Bible more. I need to read my Bible more. I'm probably, you know, a chapter a day will keep Satan away. And I need to get on my knees and fight like a man. I need to pray more. I just need to pray more. And I need to share my faith. I got to get out there, flirt to convert if I have to, whatever I need to do. But I need to share my faith, right? Right? And we have all these list of things, and I need to go to church every Sunday. I better go to church every Sunday. And I better give my 10%. I better give my 10%. Now, are those things in and of themselves bad? No. But they become bad for us when we think it's those things that make us strong. Who is our strength? Christ. Christ in me. He is your strength. So we get to trade our weakness for his strength. Good trade-off, I think, right? Apart from me, you can do. So we have to learn that God doesn't work through you despite your weakness. He works through you because of your weakness. For where you could admit that you're weak, he will then be your strength. But he cannot be to you until you admit what you're not. I am not strong. Well, amen, I'll be your strength. I have no wisdom. Well, amen, I'll be your wisdom. Right? My weakness for his strength. That's the trade-off, right? He uses the weak things of this world. Well, then, I hope that we all leave every Sunday saying, man, I'm weaker than before I walked in here. I'm leaving weaker than before I came in, right? Because I'm trading my weakness for his strength. Amen? That's a huge, important thing when we look at the foundational block of building our life upon Christ. And the third thing I brought up last week was time, right? Time. Well, time is really important because Jesus got away constantly, right? It says he went off to a solitary place. He went off to a secret place. He went off to a quiet place. He went off to a lonely place. He was getting away constantly, and he'd get up in the early hours of the morning to go spend time with his father. He'd get up, and he'd be in the evening, it says, and he'd be on a mountainside. He'd be in a garden. Sometimes it said he stayed up all night. Whenever Jesus could get that chance to get away, he got away because he needed that time, probably to get away from people. People can exhaust you, right? He was human, remember. He was in a human body, and he just needed to recharge, but he was constantly communing with his father in quietness. Just need to get away. Because it's hard, right? There's so many things distracting around us, right? Our world is clamoring around us. And there's so many distractions. So just a very simple practical thing. Jesus just got away. So if Jesus did, then how much more do we, right? I know people say, well, Chad, that's so simple. Yeah, I know it is. That's elementary teaching, Chad. Yeah, well, amen, but are you doing it? Right? Are we doing it? Are we doing these foundational things in our lives? And it's important. And I mentioned to you, I like this old missionary said to me, he said, you know, I kind of like the old adage, an hour a day a month, and a week a year. Right? Then that's kind of how he ran his life. He got away just to have that quietness with the Lord. Not out of obligation, but out of desire. Right? But if you've learned the rules and the regulations and the doing first, everything becomes out of obligation. But if you've learned relationship with Christ first, everything's just natural desire. You see the difference? See, when my kids cleaned their room, it always went easier when they desired to clean their room. But when I obligated them to do it, it always went so much tougher, right? Right? It's that idea between obligation. The Pharisees and the religious leaders, they obligated the people to do these things. Jesus, he let them get to know him, and they would run around a lake to beat him to the other side because, like, oh, I like this guy. This is freeing, right? It's not heavy. It's light. It's really light. So time is really important. And I asked the question last Sunday. I said, so how do we spend time with God? What does that look like? Growing up, you know, the buzzword was, did you do your daily devotions? Right? And I remember to the outside world, that always sounded funny to them. Daily devotion, like what does that even mean? Right? Daily devotions. And And Dad would always make us, we had to read a chapter out of the Bible every day, and then we'd have to tell him about it. So my brothers and I would always race to find the shortest psalm possible, right? And who got what, right? And then go and try and tell Dad, what does that mean? I don't know. Cows were grazing in a pasture and something. But it was all out of obligation, and Dad quickly found out that wasn't working, right? But we grew up under this law, and there was no desire. It's just rules and regulations, and the Christian life just got boring and heavy, right? Now, again, there's nothing wrong with praying. There's nothing wrong with reading your Bible. There's nothing wrong with sharing your faith. There's nothing wrong with coming to church. But when it becomes wrong is when you make your Christian list of everything that you have to do to find favor with God instead of everything that he's done that has given you favor with God, right? We've negated that somehow. So we have to get the horse pulling the wagon, right? A wagon doesn't pull the horse. The order's important, isn't it? Oh, I should have showed that picture here. I had this picture of this one country, right? They loaded up the wagon too heavy and the donkey was in the air. It was in midair. It's a great picture. And that's the picture I think of. And that's how so many of us Christians, we've got it wrong. We jump into the doing because it's easy. It's easier than to live by faith. Faith is abstract. I can't grasp onto it. That's right, because he has to grasp onto you, right? We don't get a hold of God. He gets a hold of us and works his way through us, amen? So we're going to talk about faith today, but it's important. We need that time and how you spend that time. And most people just go to the Bible, right? We go to the Bible. And again, it can get very dangerous when I bring this up because people are, I love the Holy Bible. Well, yes, I love it too, and I love the stories that are in here. But if you don't have this right, you won't understand this. Right? Corinthians talks about it. Galatians talks about it. Right? It is the Spirit that makes these words come alive to you. Otherwise, they're just words. Like I told you, I met a guy who memorized the whole thing. And it was an amazing thing. You could tell him a verse and he'd tell you the one before and after it. It was an unbelievable thing. The only problem was he was a homosexual and an alcoholic. Right? What did it do for him? See, it held no power. He had the words, but there's no power to those words because he didn't know him who lives within us. Right? So we can't elevate this above the living word. We have to have the living word right, and it'll bring these words to life. And again, I don't hate the Bible. See, if you don't understand what I'm saying, if you don't have the maturity, people can really hate me and they want to stone me. But Jesus dealt with it with the Pharisees in John chapter 6, like I read last week. He said, "You Pharisees, you religious leaders, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that in them you have life. And these are the very scriptures that testify about me, but you refuse to come to me to have life." Right? You have it. You've memorized it. You love it, but you don't understand it. Right? And so I don't want us to be like that here. I want us to fall in love with him, that you're so enamored by this relationship with Christ and everything he's done for you and will do through you. Right? That then when you read this, it blesses you. But if you don't, all you'll read is rules and regulations, and you'll crumble underneath the weight of it because you can't do it. You just can't. And listen, don't get me wrong. I understand what other believers and brothers and sisters before us had to do to get this into our hands. If you ever know the story of Martin Luther and what he went through, because he didn't feel it was just the priests and the bishops and those who were just translating, because he got a hold of it and he said, they're telling us wrong. They're teaching us wrong. And he went through a lot of heartache and trials and tribulation to translate it and get this into our hands today. So I understand that, just so everybody knows. Okay? I know. We are blessed to be able to have it, aren't we? It's still the number one bestseller in the world today. Right? So I'm not saying I hate the Bible. Okay, you know that. You should know that from me by now. I'm saying that we have to get this right first. Right? We have to get this right, and it'll make this come alive, I promise. Capiche? We get that? We understand? Yes? Okay. Relationship before rules. We need to spend time. So I wanted to talk about the principle of the fulcrum with you. And when we're talking about time, because then people really struggle around this. Oh, we're so busy, right? Right? So for the last number of decades, last couple decades, you ask people, how you doing? Oh, I'm so busy, right? And now, because they're so busy for a few decades, you ask people how they're doing, they say, oh, I'm so tired. Well, they're so busy from the last couple decades, now they're tired, right? Those are the two most popular. Well, Chad, I'm just trying to balance my life, right? I'm a mother. Let's just say they're trying to balance, right? Trying to balance my life. And I'm a mother. I'm a wife. I have a job. I'm an employee, right? I'm a daughter, right? I also do home counseling, right? And they're like, I'm trying to balance all these things. I'm a cook. I cook for my family. I have the laundry to do, right? And I hear this all the time, and I'm trying to balance all those things, right? So there's a lot of things, right? A lot of hats that we wear in our life, right? And we try to balance it. But does it work? I think we have to look at this differently as Christians. So I want to introduce to you the principle of the fulcrum. You know what a fulcrum is, right? Right? So a fulcrum, let's say it's like this. It's the brace that holds it, right? So I can build this, and you can put things on top of it because there's a fulcrum holding that together. Do you know who that fulcrum is? Yes. Jesus, God. I hold all things together, he says, even your very life, right? I will uphold you, it says in Isaiah, with my righteous right hand. I will hold you. And so I love that because there's different areas of our life that need attention, right? And a mom could come, well, I need to be a mom right now. My kids really need me. There's these things going on in their life. Well, then you go to that area where God needs you. Don't worry. He's got the rest. He's holding it, right? So just work in the areas where God's working and needs you to work. Amen? Do you understand that? So instead of thinking about balancing your life, think about having a healthy tension with life and understanding that Jesus is your fulcrum. He's holding everything together in your life. He's got it. So if you need to work in one area as a mom or as a wife or as a parent, as an employee, God will hold the rest. Amen? Work where he needs you working. Amen? Do you like that? I've been sharing this more and more with people because I keep hearing that word balance and people are like, I can't, right? So my kids really need me and it just offset the whole balance of everything. Now everything's tipping over. But don't worry. He's got you. He'll hold it together. It's solid, right? It's solid. I got a good brace there named Jesus. And he's going to hold everything together. The point is, he says, come to me, right? That's the whole point. And if you go to him, as you spend time, he will lead you. Sometimes he might not have you read this. He might you have just be still and know that I am God. Right? Have you ever just sat in his presence? Don't read. Just clear your mind and just, God, I'm just going to enjoy sitting with you. It is. Be still and know that I'm God. Other times he might lead you to go for a walk in his creation. He may want to teach you something as you look at something that he made. Other times he might want you to go be with your kids. So go be with your kids. Other times he might want to be with your spouse. Go be with your spouse. The whole point is he's leading you, not just your list, right? Your Christian list of everything you need to do to be a good Christian boy or girl. And the only problem with having a list is you will start living to the list and no longer to him who lives within. Amen? Am I clear on that? Right? We don't live to a list, we live to him. Okay? So time is really important. So today, we want to look at the last one, and then we're going to move on to the other block next week. But we're looking at faith, where you can use the word trust. Right? Faith and trust are very important. Because we already talked about that. Come unto me. Faith and trust are important because if you don't trust God, then will you go to him? Will you? No. right? I won't go to somebody whom I don't trust, right? So we have to talk about this, because if you don't trust God, you will not run to him. If you don't have faith in God, then why would you run to him? Why would you go to him? Amen? Simple, right? Right? So I have to have a faith and a trust in God. So when we, let's just go to this one here for the sake of time today. Okay? So when we talk about this, one of my favorite verses growing up, and one of the first things I had to memorize as a kid, because I too got a sticker when I memorized it. I always had the least amount of stickers, right? I hated those darn stickers, right? You could see it on display, Chad, 1 star. Everybody else, 20 stars, right? I'm like, man, I feel judged even in Sunday school, for crying out loud, right? Can't even do it right at church, right? But anyways, this was the first one I actually memorized, and I've never forgotten it, but it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him or submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do you believe that? Yeah. One of the key words in that is trust in the Lord with all your heart. You see, if we look at the story of King Saul, King David, King Solomon, right? King Saul, did he trust in God with any of his heart? Well, no, he didn't trust in God. It got so bad, he became like a cow chewing on grass. He went crazy because everything was on him. He didn't trust God. He had no heart. Solomon, he kind of had half of a heart. He did some things really well, but then kind of didn't. But David, what does it say? He's a man after my own heart, right? And even though David screwed up, he was still called a man after God's own heart, right? Because he trusted in the Lord with all his heart, right? And David didn't have some understanding. He tried his own understanding for a while, right? Lean not on your own understanding. There'll be things in your life that won't make sense. And there'll be things in your relationships where you're like, I don't know what to do here, right? There will just be times that don't make sense, right? It didn't make sense for me when God called me to step out with Abiding Life Ministries and have one supporter for $500 a month. Well, I'm not stupid. I understand I can't pay the bills and feed my family with that, right? But God said, go, and I listened. Some would say, I foolishly listened. Now, God won't call that of everybody. It was just what he called me to do, because probably he knows how stubborn I am. And I'm going to show you how faithful I really am. And did he look after us? Absolutely he did. And was it hard not trying to lean on my own understanding and how the world works? Yeah, it was. I'm not going to lie. But I put my faith in him, and he's always proven himself trustworthy. Amen? Hasn't he for you? Think about your life. And if you think about it long enough, you'll discover that we all have a good history with the Lord. You're still here, right? You're still breathing. Still smiling. Some of us doing better than others. Right? We're okay. He's faithful. So we have to talk about this, because if we don't trust him, you will grow faint and weary in your relationships with others. You will. Because you'll get to a point where there's nothing you can do. We have to be able to put our trust and faith in God, especially when our relationships and our lives go through difficult and tough times. And you'll come to a place where there's nothing else I can do. I've been trying to make this work. I've been trying so hard. And it is hard to rest and trust that he's doing something because your efforts didn't work. I remember this guy that I met. I was speaking at a church, and this dear brother, I was out in Manitoba somewheres, and he came up after me, and he shared kind of his story with me. His wife just got up and left one day and left him with the kids, and she just, I don't know, I can't remember what happened, nor do I need to share, but she was done being a mom and being a wife to this man. And he was telling me, he said, Chad, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to try and do this, and I'm going to do this. And right away, it's what we always do. We jump into the do's, right? Because I don't know what else to do, right? I don't know why she left, but she said she's sick and tired of me, and she's tired of being with the kids, and I do everything, and you do nothing. And, well, he had to travel for his work, right? That was his job, was part of traveling, was tough. And she just got tired, and she just left with another man. And so he's telling me all these things he had to do. And I said to him, I said, brother, I said, there's one thing you haven't tried. And he's, what that? I said, rest and trust that he's doing something on your behalf that you can't even see. He said, well, that sounds too easy. I said, no, actually, it's the hardest thing to do. I said, it's easier to get up and do something, isn't it? To try and make it happen, and all of your efforts and all of the things that you've tried to do, nothing's working. It is so much harder to rest and trust that he's doing something. Amen? So if you come to him, that's the whole point in everything in your life, in your relationships that are going sour, come to him first and let him lead you. And if he's not giving you anything to do, guess what? He doesn't want you doing anything. It's not rocket science, right? Right? Those are the most awkward counseling sessions I have, because sometimes God will give me nothing. And so I'm sitting there, and he's not giving me. And sometimes, oh, I remember this one person came. One of these moms forced her kid to come see me. Can you imagine how that session went? I'm like, oh, great. Right? And this kid was not, he was not going to share a single word. And God was giving me nothing to say. And so I'd ask him a question, he'd give me one-word answers. So we sat there in an hour of basically silence. But he was not, nope, I'm not going to say anything. So finally I said, well, we're at about an hour and 50 minutes. He said, do you want to say anything? Nope. I said, okay, well, do you need a ride? He said, actually, yeah, I live all the way across Coquitlam. I said, oh, no problem. I'll give you a ride. He said, really? I said, yeah, no problem. And then he started to open up, right? But God knew that was it. He just laid it on my heart to give him a ride. And that giving him a ride spoke so much that he burst open. So we were to have this session in my car, right? It wasn't supposed to be at the church office, right? So you see what I mean, right? Go to him. Put your faith and trust in him, because you will find, right? I remember running into this guy that I was talking about in Manitoba. I was speaking at a family camp in Saskatchewan, just across the border from Manitoba, and he was at this family camp, and I hadn't seen him for a few years. And he came up to me, and he had this big smile and gave me this big bear. He was a big, strong man. Gave me this big bear hug. And he said, Chad, do you remember me? I said, I didn't remember his name, but I said, I remember your face. And I said, I remember you telling me that your wife left you. And I said, so what happened? He said, well, she never did come back. She ran off. But he said, but you were right. I said, really? I don't hear that too often. What was I right about? And he said, you were right. To rest and to trust the Lord was the harder work. I tried all of my efforts and all these things to do, and it came to nothing. But one thing that did happen is I am so near to him than I was when I talked to you last time, right? My faith is increased because he's proven himself faithful to me and the kids, right? Well, amen, right? It is the harder work to put our faith and put our trust in God and that he's doing something. Because what will happen, if I could just do this. So what will happen is if you try to do, you're going to come up to this wall and oh, I can get over that one, right? But there'll be something else in your life that's difficult, and you might just get over that one. But what happens when you hit a wall that you can't get over? I call them the walls of enlightenment, because you'll be enlightened to the fact that eventually you're going to have to put your faith and trust in him. Now, over the course of my life, God is very gracious, because faith sometimes requires that you will know nothing, right? You won't know nothing. But say there's 10 things you need to know. Well, I don't know how it worked in your life, but as I started growing in the Lord and walking with him, he let me know 9 out of 10, right? But I had to put my faith in that one thing I didn't know, and he proved himself. And over the course, it would be 8 out of 10, 6 out of 10, 2 out of 10, right? And when I left that job in Wainwright, because COVID kind of shut our ministry down and it really affected us, and I quit that job in Wainwright because God says, I'm calling you back. So we did. And then 2 days later, the duplex were living in cells, right? And the support raising didn't go as well as the last time we did pre-COVID. it was like, oh my goodness, where are we going to live? But long story short, God provided, right? He provided. He looked after it. And we had a home. We had to move Thanksgiving weekend, but my family was so thankful that we got to move, I think. Right? And it ended up being the hottest weekend. It was plus 30. So God's faithful, right? I mean, he is faithful. And as you get to know him who lives within, your faith will grow, right? It will grow. And you'll discover that. Okay. Listen to this. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. He was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Right? Earnestly. So that's with, right, with some fervor, right? I earnestly seek him. He is my life, right? So without faith, it is what? It's impossible to please God. Enoch was commended because he was satisfied just to walk with God. He wasn't trying to build a kingdom. He wasn't trying to become something. He already had God who was something. So he was just satisfied. And God says, yeah, you figured it out. No, you're not going to die here. I'm just going to take you. Come be with me. We're closer to my home than yours. Come on home. Right? And Enoch got to go. He was commended as one who pleased God. Right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you're trying to build your life with things that are concrete that you can see, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to memorize this, and I'm going to figure this out, right? Life's going to be difficult, because it also says, the righteous will live by faith. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. Did you hear that? The law, if you're living under the rules, is not based on faith. On the contrary, Paul says, it is not based upon law. It's founded in Christ. Amen. Faith is founded in him. It's part of the new covenant in his blood, right? Faith comes from that. It doesn't come from the law. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of who? It is the gift of God. Yes. Not by works. Faith doesn't come by your works. It comes by his work. Amen? Right? Faith comes by his work, not yours. Our work isn't good enough. Our work doesn't work. It is a gift that comes from God. So faith comes from who? It comes from God. It's a gift, actually, from God. Faith is a gift that he gives to us. Acts 3, Peter just healed a beggar. He was a lame beggar, and Peter just healed him. And then in verse 16, he says, by faith in the name of Jesus, the man whom you now see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. So it's like he deposits a seed of faith in you, right? It's faith that comes from God. It comes from him. That's why I keep keying in on this relationship with him who lives within. Because if I don't understand this, you won't get everything else. And the Christian life will be confusing, and you're like, where is my victory? Where is my joy? Where is this big loving God? You just won't understand it. Right? Faith comes from who? It comes from God. So here's how it works. God deposits this seed of faith in you, right? Right? You can see that, right? It comes from Him. But then you have a crisis that comes in your life, right? So I had a crisis, right? I didn't have a job that could pay the bills, and I didn't have a home to put my family in. Is that a crisis? Yeah, to me it was, right? I was in crisis, right? So now I have a choice at that point of crisis. I can go and try and do, right, instead of coming to Him first, because He says, come to me, right, and try and get this all figured out. So I was doing that for a couple months. I'm like, I'm working it. And I remember I went and showed Tracy and the kids some places, and they're like, really? Right? And this one house I brought them to, all you could smell was pot in the house. And I'm like, oh, well, probably not the home. And it was dark and dingy, and the kids like, we're not moving here. I mean, it was dark. And I'm like, okay, I'm done with my efforts. I'm done. Right? And I remember saying to the Lord, okay, Lord, I've tried. Tag, you're it. Right? And that's exactly what God was waiting for. Tag me in. Right? Tag me in. And then Tracy just nonchalantly mentions that Pastor Clay, we were praying for Pastor Clay, their house still hasn't sold. And then a thought came. Huh. I wonder if we could move into that house. So I call Pastor Clay up, and he says, he laughs. I said, what's so funny? He says, you know, Janelle and I were just praying today. What are we going to do with this house? Because our plans aren't working. So he said, let me just talk to Janelle and I'll call you back. So he talked to Janelle, called me back. Right. Guess what? It's yours. Right. We know now what to do with it. Right. So what happened is my faith increased, didn't it? Now my faith is out here now. And that's how your faith builds and increases, right? Because God proves Himself what to you? Trustworthy, right? Now, Tracy, would you have married me if you didn't know me? No. And as you got to know me, you decided, I think I can trust Him, right? Because she saw the God above the man, right? 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 So it's the same thing with God. We're called the bride of Christ, right? We're called the bride of Christ. Are you going to marry somebody who you don't know? No. So He wants us to get to know Him. So He allows these problems to come in your life. See, at one point, I hope you all get the revelation like I did. At one point, I realized God's not fighting my problems. He's working them for my good. Right? Have you ever prayed this? God, would you change my circumstances? Has anybody ever prayed that? Oh, man, I've said that prayer so many times. God, please change my circumstances. And then one day I heard the Lord loud and clear, Chad, why would I change your circumstances when I brought them to change you? I want you to see that you can trust me. Invite me into it. Invite me. Right? But you won't if you don't know Him. Right? If the Christian life is all rules and regulations, you won't run to Him because your Christian life is just heavy. There's no relationship. You don't desire it. Right? Amen? Amen. Like, this is gold. I'm giving you gold. This is huge. And your faith will increase. So faith, it's like an organ of the Spirit. Right? I can put it. We're going to talk more about that the following weeks. This is the makeup of man, but faith, the Spirit that comes into us, is the core of who we are, right? It's the core of who we are, right? And faith is like an organ because faith comes from God, right? It's a gift, He says, even, right? That man was healed because of the faith that God gave to him, but he responded to that, right? So let's think about the miracles that Moses performed. Remember all the miracles that Moses did? Do you remember those? Right? The river turned into blood, right? Locusts. Remember all those things that he did. Now, did Moses generate those miracles or did he merely receive them by faith? Yeah. He didn't generate those things. He merely received them by faith, right? So faith is like the eyes and the ears of the Spirit. Faith enables you to receive the things of God, right? Do your eyes generate light or do they receive light? They receive light. Do your ears generate sound? Well, they can. Anybody ever had that? Oh, it's like something's not right and you're like, ah, you start hitting your ears like, what's going on? They're generating sound. And right, and you're like, I don't know, they call it tinnitus or something like that. I don't know. There's a word for it. But have you ever had that buzzing in your ears? You're like, it drives you crazy because your ears aren't meant to generate. They're meant to receive. Does your tongue generate taste or does it receive? It receives. Everything in us and how God made us is meant to receive. So faith is like the organ of the Spirit. It helps you to receive the work from God. Amen? We're always meant to receive by faith. Okay. Now let's look at this, okay? Because this is really important. Because in our relationships, things aren't always peachy keen tickety-boo, are they? Right? Things can go south in our marriages, in our friendships, relationship with parents, with kids to parents, right? Right, so let's look at how this works. And let's look at the life of Joseph, right? I think Randall preached on Joseph for quite a few Sundays, right? You guys know lots about Joseph, you remember that, right? And what was Joseph promised? Well, he's promised that he would rule, right? He would be a ruler, right? He's told, he was prophesied over about that, right? You're going to rule. Well, then Joseph received a reversal to that promise, didn't he? Right? His brothers got jealous. They ripped up his beautiful coat from his dad, right? Threw him in a pit and then sold him, but didn't just sell him, sold him to slavery, right? The Pharaoh's wife comes on to him. He gets blamed for it, but now he's in a jail cell. And I'm sure he's like, oh, wow, look at me. I'm sure ruling down here. Right? So he experienced all those things. The reversal to the promise that he was given. But what was the fulfillment? Well, he became ruler overall, didn't he? Second in command underneath Pharaoh. Right? He ruled. Now, when do we give up? Do we give up here, here, or here? Well, we give up here at the reversal. Right? That's where we give up. Yep, I'm in a pit. Right? I can't see up. There is no light coming in. Right? Because you won't see the light looking up. You'll only see it looking in where he lives. Hey, Jesus, I know you're here. Man, Lord, I can't see left from right, up from down, stop from go, high from low. But I know you do. And I trust you with my life. I trust you with my marriage. I trust you with my relationships. I choose to put my faith in you. Remember the story of Meshach? Shadrach? Meshach? And to bed we go. Right? Shadrach, Meshach, remember that story? Right? You didn't follow me. You prayed to somebody else. We're going to burn you. And we're going to turn it up 7 times the heat of the normal furnace, actually. And we're going to throw you in. And what did the 3 of them say? Well, go ahead. Because even if he doesn't come to save us, we still choose to put our faith in him. And all of a sudden they look. Hey, didn't we just put 3 guys in the cooker? Oh, well, now there's somehow 4. Right? And not a singe was on their clothes. And what did the ruler say? We're praying to that God. We're praying to him. Right? Is God faithful? Will he come through? Yes, he will come through for you. Amen? It's good news. I promise you, I don't care what is going on in your life, right? What thing? Maybe you prayed for something that just you're still putting your faith in God, but it hasn't come to fruition in your prayer yet. In Hebrews 11, he actually talks about the others. He says, and then there were the others. Well, who were those others? Those who still chose to believe in God, even though their prayer wasn't answered in their lifetime. And it says, the world is not worthy of them, for they chose to believe. Amen. They chose to believe. So does God got you? Yes. No matter where your relationships are in your life, I promise you God will carry you through each and every one of them. He will. So I want to end with this story. Okay, we'll end with this story because it's time. Do you want to do a song, Jeremy? Do you want to? I'll just end with the story. Okay. You wouldn't be offended if I said don't sing another song? Okay. So I want to tell you this story, and some of you may have heard it, but I haven't told it for a while, actually. I haven't shared it, but this is a true story because I want to encourage you. One of my dearest friends, he was my mentor, a spiritual father to me. He passed away many years ago. And I'll never forget him telling me the story when it happened. But he had this old lady that he would visit every time he went to this country. And I can't give the name of that for because it's a dangerous place and stuff. So I'll just kind of speak in code a little bit. But it was a poor country. And he got to know her on one of his travels. And so every time he went to this country, he always went to see her and just to see how she's doing and how are things going. And so he came there the one time, one of his last visits, and she was to be evicted out of her place that day. And so Mike was very concerned about this. He's like, what are we going to do? Like, we got to do something. You're about to be kicked out. You're 92 years old. You can't live on the streets. So we got to figure this out. And she looked at him and she goes, Michael, I want some chocolate. And Michael's like, what? Whatever. We got to figure this out. You're about to be kicked out of your house. You're 92 years old, sister. You cannot live on the streets. Like, you need this home, so we got to figure something out. And she goes, Michael, let's go across the street. There's a chocolate store over there. I really want some chocolate. And he's like, enough of the chocolate. We have bigger things to tend to right now. You're about to be kicked out. You are 92 years old. We got to figure something out. Who can we call? Well, we got to make some phone calls. We got to get something figured out. And she looked at him, Michael, enough. I want some chocolate. And so Mike said, oh, she's not getting off the chocolate thing. All right, let's go. And Mike said, he's grumbling and complaining the whole way down the stairs and across the street. Let's go get your chocolate so we can move on and figure out your situation. So they go across the street to the chocolate store, and she's looking through all the, that one may be good over that. And she's with Michael, she let her pick out a few chocolates, and they sit down there, and she's taking her time. Oh, it's glorious, Michael. And she's taking her jolly old time. He just wants to shove it in her mouth and let's move on and figure out what's going on. And she finally, Mike's going, I says, what are we going to do? We got to do something. You're going to be evicted today. And she finally looked at Michael. And Mike said he'll never forget the look she gave him. And she looked at his face and said, Michael, enough. God has been looking after me for 92 years of my life. Do you really think he's going to stop today? Well, Michael knew the story of her life. She lived in a communist country. And the soldiers, if you got sick enough, they would make you go bury the dead. So if your children got tuberculosis was a big thing. Her son actually got tuberculosis. So the soldier said, he's on death's doorbed. Take him out to the field right now. He's about to die. And they gave her a shovel and said, you have to dig his own grave and throw him in. Go. And so there's a field out there, and she said she just kept walking. And with every step, the son got more and more encouraged to feel healthier. Right? So they kept going, and he's like, huh, I think I'm feeling better, Mom. you know? And they just kept walking and walking and walking. And with every step, he just felt better and better and better until eventually got up on his 2 feet on his own. And they just kept walking. And the soldiers gave her the shovel to bury him, but they walked all the way across the border to the next country that wasn't communist. And they got across. They made it. They had a rough life. She experienced all kinds of reversals to God's promise. Remember, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. My eyes are always on you. I will be a shield for you to take refuge in. Amen? And she really believed it. So she really enjoyed her chocolate. Why? Because she knew she had a God who's always going to look after it. She didn't know what to do. She's 92 years old. I don't know what to do. God will figure it out. Right? So they get back to the place. One of the neighbors had saw the eviction notice and already worked it out and paid for like 6 months' rent for her. And he got back, and then and they ran into the neighbor, and he says, oh, listen, we can take this down now. I paid for you. You're looked after. And Mike's like, well, amen. Of course, lesson learned. So amen, right? You hear me say it a lot. You've seen it on even T-shirts that I have. Well, .. amen. Because it's a term of yieldedness to the Lord. It's a term of surrender. Well, amen says, God, I trust you, no matter my circumstance. I don't put faith in my circumstances. I put faith in the God of my circumstances. Faith, we have a God. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for who you are. God, it is an amazing thing for us to say in Jesus' name because it means something to us. That we have a God who's going to look after it no matter what's going on in our life. You are always looking after it. We don't have to worry, but we only worry because we don't see you in it. If I just see me and my responsibility, I am overwhelmed. But God, if we see you, the yoke becomes easy and the burden becomes light. Thank you, God, for being a faithful God whom we can trust. I know you have a plan for this church, for these people who are in it. And Lord, I know how much you want to get a hold of their hearts and allow them to fall in love with you, that you mean more than anything this world could ever offer, that they just come to know you. And like those people would run to the other side of a lake just to hear your words because you bring such freedom. Thank you, God, that we can found our lives upon you and that we know for a fact that we have a God who is absolutely trustworthy and faithful. And we choose, God, not based upon our feelings, but upon our faith. Right? Faith is believing you're there, even if we don't feel you. Faith is believing you're doing something, even when in our present circumstances we can't see what's going on. You're beyond our emotions. God, we choose to put our emotions in you and your truth and who you say you are, that you are faithful. So, amen, we choose to believe. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ and all of God's children said. Amen. We have a God. Repeat it to yourself this week. Faith, I got a God. Amen. I'll see you guys next Sunday. Yes.